Chapter 4. Hampton Court. The next morning, Guy and I were tired and bad-tempered, and Freddy's cheerful mood didn't help. But we couldn't stay gloomy for long. The rain had stopped and the sun had come out. "It's a perfect day for visiting Hampton Court," said Freddy happily. I told him that I wasn't really interested in old historical palaces, but he said cleverly, "The grounds and gardens of the palace are enormous. Caesar will have a marvellous time there." I wondered if dogs were permitted at Hampton Court. We discussed it, and the others said that we shouldn't ask. I carried Caesar in an old backpack and gave him a nice bone to chew on to keep him quiet while we went through the entrance gate. Inside, we released him. The plan was that if anybody complained, Freddy would say that we didn't know dogs were forbidden. Freddy was very useful in situations like that. His big blue eyes and charming smile had a special effect on people. They always believed him, except for those who knew him really well, like us. Guy and I knew each other well, but Freddy could still surprise us. For example, he knew about all kinds of strange things. "There's a marvellous maze in the palace grounds," he said suddenly.
"How do you know that?" asked Guy.
"We had a family holiday in London a few years ago," Freddy explained. "My parents took us to lots of tourist places. One of the coach trips was to Hampton Court, and we spent quite a long time in the maze. It was great fun." As it happened, Freddy spent far longer in the maze this time than on that first occasion, but he didn't enjoy it nearly as much. First, we walked around the gardens eating large ice creams, while Caesar ran around wildly. Then, we visited the gift shop and bought nice t-shirts. We all chose black, but with a different design on the front. We threw our old t-shirts into the backpack and changed into our new ones. "We must look good in case we meet the girls," said Guy. He also persuaded us to visit the elegant staterooms in the palace, where royal families had lived long ago.
"If the girls are at the palace, they may be in the staterooms," he said. "Girls like that kind of thing."
But we were too optimistic. We didn't see the girls at Hampton Court, and we were all disappointed again. Our last stop was the maze, and Freddy led the way. It took a little longer than we'd expected, but we finally reached the centre of it. We were beginning to make our way back to the entrance when we met an old couple, looking very frustrated.
"We've been walking for ages, and we can't find the way out," said the old lady.
Freddy kindly suggested that they join us, and the couple accepted gratefully.
"Don't worry," said Freddy. "I know the way. I've been here before."
Soon after that, a young mother joined us with a screaming child, followed by several other people who had all been trying unsuccessfully to get out of the maze.
"Don't worry, folks," Freddy said cheerfully. "Just follow me."
By now, there were about 20 people following us. Freddy was a confident leader. He had a map, but didn't use it.
"It's not necessary," he explained. "You just have to take the right turn every time."
But this strategy didn't work. It brought us back twice to the centre of the maze. We walked again for 10 minutes and passed a half-eaten sandwich on the ground that we'd passed minutes before. The crowd was beginning to look dangerous.
"We're walking round in circles," said the old lady angrily. "I don't think you know where you're going."
"Of course I do," replied Freddy. "I've got a map."
"Yes, but do you know exactly where we are on the map?"
asked the lady accusingly. Eventually, we were rescued by one of the maze keepers, who climbed up on a ladder and shouted instructions.
When we came out of the maze, everyone was shouting angrily at Freddy, and he was looking embarrassed. I was happy and grateful that the girls were nowhere to be seen. Back at the boat, we agreed that we would stop at a riverbank restaurant or pub for a good evening meal. There wasn't a big choice of food at the pub, but we didn't care. We consumed some large meat pies and chips, together with some cold beer. We sat back, feeling full and satisfied, and listened with interest to two red-faced gentlemen having an argument. They were standing next to a glass showcase with a very large stuffed fish in it. Apparently, it was the largest fish ever caught on that part of the river, and both men claimed they'd caught it.
"Nobody else has ever caught a fish that size on this part of the river. I caught it in December," shouted one of them.
"Liar,"
shouted the other man.
"I caught that fish. I'd recognize it anywhere."
In his anger, he hit his hand on the showcase. The glass broke, and the precious fish fell to the ground, where it broke into many pieces. Clearly, it wasn't a real fish at all, but a fish made of plaster. Both men were surprised at first, and then furious. When we left the pub, they were both shouting at the pub owner,
"Where's my fish? What did you do with it?"
It looked as though there might be a fight. Normally, we would have stayed to enjoy it, or possibly even to participate, but it had been a long day. "Enough for one day," I said firmly, and the others agreed.